Thankful for this day, another day that the Lord has made. And this morning I would ask that you would continue to pray for me. Very thankful for the prayer, the public prayer offered on our behalf. And would ask that you would continue to pray for me and for each other, and that the Lord might bless us for a little while to have a greater understanding of His Word. The thoughts on my mind this morning is the gift of time. And you know, our life is about time, is it not? Everything that we do is tied to some time. It's time to get up, it's time to go to bed, it's time to go to work, it's time to go to school, it's time to study. It's always time to do something. There's never an end to time. I heard Elder Jeff Harris preach about, I don't know, it's 12, 15 years ago, maybe longer than that. Time's passing by, and he preached a sermon of this in this regard, and he said there's never been a time like this time that we don't have any time. He spoke of all the miraculous inventions that had been created or had been made, microwaves, and all the things that we have in life today to help us with save time. And yet, none of us have any time. Have you ever thought about that? We have a great lack of time on our hands. I tell folks what's happened is all these time-saving objects that have been presented to us in our life just allowed us to put more on our plate. And now people are tired and they're wore out and they're not unable to worship and praise God, because instead of taking the savings of time that was brought about by these inventions, they've just added more to their plate, and we just try to keep going completely. You know, what is time? What is the definition of time? I mean, it's hard for me to come up with the definition. It's one of the definitions in the Bible is an occasion, but or a season. But to me, there's two definitions of time, if you would. It says in the beginning of Genesis, in the morning and the evening was a day. In other words, all the light and all the dark in one day constitutes a period of time. Really, when the earth rotates a complete rotation, we have a period of time. We have 24 hours that we call time. But I believe time is really defined more in our lives. We've been given the gift of time. Time begins when you're born and time ends when you die. That's hard to believe. You know, time is irrelevant to God. We're told in 2 Peter chapter 3 that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. A lot of people get caught up in that. All that really means is time is irrelevant with God. God never changes. He's the same yesterday and today and forever. Time has no effect upon our God. Do you know that when you die, time ends and all the changes that you and I have went through in this life will no longer be? You won't change. You know, sin has a great effect upon us in this period we know as time. Notice what Acts chapter 17 and verse 26 says. And he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You know, the bounds of our habitation are time, and God is outside those boundaries. You were born inside this habitation or these boundaries called time, and we exist in those boundaries till we die. And we part our ways from this old world. Time is only important to a mortal being, because sin will no longer have any power over you when you die. You will no longer change and get old. You know, we talk about time here in this world and the consequences that sin has upon us through this period of time that we live. Yet time is one of the most precious gifts you will ever have in this life. God give you the gift of time when you were born into this world. We were created from nothing. I want you to think about that. You were nothing. You wasn't even dust. You wasn't even a thought. God created us, and not only give us the gift of time, But then he's blessed us with the gift of eternity, a place where time doesn't exist and we'll never age, we'll never be sick, we'll never die. So to me, the definition of his time is when you're born and when you die. And that definition might expand for some folks and be shortened for others, but that's really what time is all about. It's the habitation of our life, our mortal lives here upon this earth, and what takes place in that time. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about time. And I Lord willing, I won't get too scattered, but we're told in 118 Psalms 24th verse, "This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." The key point is, this is the day the Lord made. You know, we get so caught up in what's going to happen 6 months from now or a year from now or 10 years from now, and I'm guilty of that. Am I going to have enough money to live out my life? Am I going to be able to get to the end? But the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding." Until we can put our trust in God to the extent that our own understanding is not what we're trying to reach, we'll never really trust God. We'll never be able to stop worrying about what might or might not be. You see, time is a precious gift. And we're not promised any certain amount of time. Bible tells us that this day is the most important day of our life. This is the day which the Lord hath made. You know, we can't live in the past. We can't change anything that was in the past. And when we start planning too far out in the future, there's nothing wrong with having a glimpse of what might go forward. But when we live too far out there, we worry too much, we're too concerned, and there's a very possibility that you and I might not ever make it that far. There's folks in this congregation I know who have seen someone one day, and the next day they didn't see them. You know, there might be someone here today that we look upon and visit with and talk to that we don't see tomorrow. I mean, this day is the day which the Lord hath made, and it's very, very important. But we get so caught up with the future and what might or might not happen. I believe the Bible tells us that we're to live this day, as though it was our last day. Now, someone might say that's a difficult thing to do. But let me ask you, how would you live today if you knew when you got up at 8 o'clock this morning, by 8 o'clock or 10 o'clock tonight, your mortal life in this world would be over? Would you live any different? Would you thank God for the enormous blessings He's blessed you with? Would you tell your wife or your husband how much you love them and really mean it more? Would you talk to your friends, your brothers and sisters in Christ, and relate to them a different aspect of the blessings they've been to you in your life, the people you work with, the blessings of folks that God has put in your life? How would you live if you knew by 10 o'clock tonight you wasn't going to live any longer? I'm going to tell you something, friends. Time keeps marching on regardless of how you lift your life. The clock never stops ticking. It just keeps going. And that which you do not do, you can't go back and fix. You can't get the lost time back. You really can't. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, I love that verse because God didn't say, "This is the day that I've made, and if you get up and you feel really good this morning and you had a great day yesterday, then you'll rejoice. If you don't see any problems or challenges ahead of you, then I'm going to rejoice." The psalmist didn't say that, did he? He said, "This day is the day that God made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Because every day that you and I live is a gift from God. It doesn't matter if you're having difficulties. You may be sick. Someone might say, "Well, I don't feel good today. I'm having all kinds of trouble in my life. I've got challenges that I can't overcome. Mountains too high to climb and valleys too deep to go through." The psalmist didn't say that, did he? He said, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it." Have you ever been up to someone or in the presence of someone, and as you begin to have conversation with them, you wonder if they've ever had a good day? You wonder if they've ever had a good day? And you know, if you talk to that person, they don't want to depart from this life. But my question was, and I was talking to Sister Naomi this morning about that, I said, you wonder sometimes why they want to live. They don't want to pass from this life, But life is horrible. It's terrible. This is the day that God hath made. And in that verse right there, we got two things that's important. The Lord made the day, and the Lord is first and foremost. He made it, and He granted you to live in this day, regardless of your circumstances or the challenges that you and I might face. What do you think about what the Lord said over there in John 16 and 33 when He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you're going to have tribulations." You and I are going to face troubles and trials, trials with our children, trials with our health, trials with our jobs. I mean, you name it, you're going to have it. It's going to happen. You can take that to the bank. But what did Jesus say? Did He say, get down, complain, gripe, moan? He said, be of good cheer, didn't He? Be happy. Rejoice in this day that God has made and be glad in it. Why? Because God is bigger than any challenge, any trouble, any problem that you've ever had. When we can't get through life because of the troubles, we're not laying our problems at the feet of Jesus. Because everybody has trouble. There's not anybody immune from it. You know, life is about how we handle the trouble we have. It's not about whether or not we're going to have it. We're going to have it. And sometimes the trouble we have is going to be very difficult, hard to handle. We're going to lose loved ones. We're going to have children, in some cases, that do things that we never expected them to do. But the Bible didn't qualify that verse, did it? It didn't say, if everything is perfect in your life, if everything is just right, then you can rejoice today and be glad in it. God, give us the gift of that day, regardless of our circumstances. You know, David said, although I go walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You know, we walk through that valley from the day that we're born. That's part of this habitation and these boundaries that Paul tells us in Acts, or it wasn't Paul, but they were told in Acts, that is called time. But in those boundaries, we're going to have troubles. David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. The key is focusing on the Lord. Solomon said, what profit hath a man of all his labor which he taketh under the sun? It's vanity and vexation of the spirit. Life lived under the sun without a view of God, first and foremost in your life, is a life that's in vain. It's a life that when the floodwaters come, the winds begin to blow, and all the turmoil that is going to come to your life, it's going to come, then you're going to become unsettled. You're not going to be able to handle it. It doesn't mean that you'll never have any pain or suffering in your life or any problems. You will. We all deal with that. But are we looking unto the Lord? You know, one day this is going to come to an end. We've been given the gift of mortal life, and one day we're going to live through eternity. We started at nothing, and we're going to live forever. That's an amazing thing, is it not? Amen. It's amazing. We were created out of nothing, and we're given the blessing of being able to live forever. So how do you count the time that you live upon this earth? When we talk about time, I want to think about the wise use of our time. And I don't want to spend too much time up here this morning before we have get into the baptism. But I want to think about, are you applying time in a wise way in your life? You know, can you look back over your life and say, you know, I've wasted a lot of time? We talked about not being able to regain the time. You know, if you didn't take time with your children as you should have, you can never get that back. If you didn't go to church at some point in your life, you can't get that back. But Paul said, forgetting those things that are behind us. You know, we can't change the past, but we can change the future. We can change whatever time that God blesses us to live until He calls us home. We can change that. We're told in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 5, it says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Now, I've heard commentators go plumb as this speaks of those that are out of the church, and I don't particularly believe that's what it's talking about. I believe it's talking about those that are without wisdom. And there are many of God's children that are not walking in God's wisdom. They're not blessed with God's wisdom. They don't pray for God's wisdom. And it says, redeeming the time. Have you redeemed the time? Have you used the time that God has blessed you with wisely in your life? You know, there's many years that's went by in my life. I didn't redeem the time. I didn't use the time that God gave me wisely. You know, the Lord says something in the Bible that's very important. We're to live for today. We're not to worry about tomorrow. And that's a hard concept for you and I, is it not? It's a hard concept. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, it says, "Take therefore no thought for tomorrow." How many of you come into the church this morning and your thoughts are on tomorrow? Now, that's not what this is talking about, but I'm just making an example. How many of us wake up tomorrow morning and our thoughts are on Monday or Tuesday or 6 months from now or next year or whenever it might be? It's real easy to do that, and yet you and I may never make it to that point. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for tomorrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. The trouble and the difficulty and the challenges that we have today are enough to occupy our time without adding to that. When we trust in the Lord and we live our life above the sun and focus upon God, then we just live for today. Because we don't know if tomorrow will ever come. We plan ahead. Think about Luke chapter 12, and let's think about the wise man who was blessed by God, and God continued to bless this man in a tremendous way. And as he had all these bumper crops coming in, he didn't have anywhere to put them. So he tore down his barns and he built bigger barns. And he began to look upon all the blessings that God had bestowed upon him, and he thought a lot of himself in doing this, and we won't get to that point, but he said, I'm going to live out the latter days of my life. I'm going to eat, drink, and I'm going to be merry. You know, that's the American dream. That's what I'll say Luke 12 is. That's what we've been preached to by people in this country. We're supposed to stack up all the money we can, and we're supposed to live out our life. And the Lord said that man was a fool. Now, we're talking about time in our lives, making a wise application of our time or a foolish application of our time. You know, we can sit around and we can complain about everything in this life and the troubles that we're going to have and the challenges we're going to face. And it's foolishness. We need to trust in the Lord with all our heart. We're going to have troubles, but God will lead us through our troubles. He didn't say remove them. He said, I will be there. You will fear no evil. He said he would never leave us nor forsake us, that we might boldly say the Lord is our helper. That's where we're to look unto the Lord is our helper. In Luke chapter 12, he said, thou fool, I will require thy life tonight. This man had decided that he's going to spend the rest of his time eating and drinking and being merry and enjoying life as we all want to do, and tomorrow never come. You remember the song that Garth Brooks come out with, If Tomorrow Never Come, which basically, and I can't quote it, would you know how much I loved you? Do the people that surround you in your family, the people you go to church with, your children, do they know how much you really love them if tomorrow never comes? Because for some of us, if it's not in this congregation, I'll assure you there's congregations all over the United States today that tomorrow will never come for someone. That's part of life, and it's a reality that we have to face. Are we wise in our application of time? You know, one thing that takes away from time when we're not focused upon the Lord Jesus Christ, when we're not living life above the sun, we're living life self-centered. Our focus is on us, how we feel, what we want, what we desire. The Lord said, I will not remove those things, but I will see you through those things. We need to consider those things. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. I want to go, and there's much more to be said, but I want to go and spend a little bit of time in Ephesians chapter 5 before we close up. In verse 14, it says, wherefore he saith, awakest thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Arise from the dead. That's an interesting statement, is it not? There's not a one of us that could raise ourselves from the dead. It takes God's power to raise anyone from the dead, but apparently you and I can get in such a situation and a circumstance in our life that we would be as the dead. We would be as inactive as the dead. We would look unto the Lord about like the dead do. But it says, awake and Christ shall give thee light. But let's move on. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. You know, the sooner we realize that trouble's coming and that difficulties will be had in our life and the challenges we'll have to face, we redeem the time. That means to buy back, or it means to rescue the time. How many folks do you know in life who continuously looking back and saying, I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd have spent more time there. You know, we only have so much time. Everybody's time's a little different. But on this earth, we as mortal human beings only have so much time. Whether it's 20 years or 100 years, are we using the time that God gives us in the most wise way? Or are we walking as fools? The time that was granted to the man in Luke 12, the Lord said that man looked at time in a foolish way because we don't know if tomorrow's coming. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it because He is the Lord of our lives. He is the Lord of our salvation. He is the Lord God of heaven. He give you the very gift that you have of time. And any gift that God gives us, we ought to use it wisely to be good stewards of it. You know, we're told in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and I believe it's verse 7, that God loves a cheerful giver. But I tell you, as I preach this sermon before Christmas, most of the time that's preached with the idea of monetary, financial giving to the church. But you know there is no more of a precious gift in life that you can give to someone than the gift of your time. I'm just telling you. There is no amount of money that will buy time for someone. When you give the precious gift of your time to someone else, you've given a gift that no money can purchase or buy. No amount of money is equal to the gift of your precious time. Whether it's your wife, your husband, or your children, or someone in a nursing home, or your brothers and sisters in Christ, God has given us this gift. Are we wisely using the gift that God gives us? Sometimes we get self-centered and we don't live today as though this day might be the last. It might not be, but I believe the Bible tells us that we ought to live that day. Notice what it says. The Bible has so much to say about the day. James chapter 4 and verse 13, it says, it's talking about these fellows. It says, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. These are some folks that are laying out their plans for years to come. And the Lord says, you need to look upon this day and trust in Him this day and this day only. There's enough trouble. There's enough difficulty. You know, the Lord will still be there tomorrow. But concentrate on today. It says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the tomorrow. We don't even know if we're going to be here tomorrow. How much energy and foolishness have we wasted being concerned about what tomorrow or a week from now or 10 years from now might bring to our lives? Because you and I might not ever live to see that. Today is the day which the Lord hath made. Are you rejoicing in this day? Did you rejoice in yesterday? Or have the troubles of this life consumed you to such an extent that you can no longer rejoice in the very gift of time that God has given you? It's easy to get into that condition. He says, our life is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. I tell you, we're here today and we're gone tomorrow. I've wasted more time in my life than any human being that you could imagine. You know, and I guess we've all wasted some time. But Paul tells us in the book of Philippians, forgetting those things which are behind us and pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in God, which is Christ Jesus. Living your life above the sun. This is the day which God had made, not the day that I made or you made or anyone else made. It's the day that God has made. The Lord our God made the day. He blessed you to live in it. Regardless of your circumstances, you're here for a purpose and a reason. The question is, are we using wisdom in making an application of the time that God has granted and given to us in this life? Really, I believe that if we knew today was the last day that we'd be alive on this earth, we'd live it different. We'd live it one day at a time. We would let those that we love know how much we really love them. You know, we wouldn't be second-guessing ourselves tomorrow when somebody that we love or somebody that we know is not there anymore. We all have those problems, but Paul said, forget what's behind us. We can't change that, but we can change what we're doing going forward. He goes on and he says, see that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, understanding what the will of the Lord is. We preached on this several times when we went through the Lord's Prayer. You know, when the Lord said in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, Jesus didn't say to talk about what you're going to get in 6 months from now, or 10 years from now, or when you retire, or when you get older and you wonder how you're going to make it. Give us this day our daily bread. Be concerned with this day. The evil of this day, the difficulties of this day are sufficient. The challenges that lie ahead this day are enough. You may have a little foresight, but don't get caught up in everything that's going to happen in the future, because you and I might not live to see the day. This gift of time is precious, and we need to focus upon the day and trust in God and not ourselves. May God bless us to do that. And he says, and be not drunk with wine where in excess, but be filled with the Spirit. When we're seeking God's will, when we're living our life above the sun, we will be filled with the Spirit of God. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is what it's saying a wise man does, one that's redeeming the time, using the time that God has blessed him with, and making a wise application of it. We get up in the morning, regardless of our circumstances, and say, thank you, Lord, for the day that you've made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I don't know what lies ahead, but I put the things and the challenges and the troubles that may come my way in your hands. See, Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Jesus said, no matter what your trouble is, no matter how difficult you may think it'll be, he said, I'm bigger than any trouble you ever had. He said, I will lead you through that trouble. I will carry you through that trouble. You know, we want God to always remove our troubles. You know, when I went to Austin's meeting, and I've quoted this several times, Elder John Melvin said, well, you know, if God would fix our problems in 15 minutes, we'd all be in. And we would. That's how we are. We got no patience. But if it takes 15 years, we just don't know if we got what it takes to go on. God is faithful to his promises. Are we faithful to his cause? Are we living our life above the sun, redeeming the time? This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope that if you're not rejoicing in every day, I know you've got your problems. I know we've got our health problems. We've got our financial problems. We've got all kinds of difficulties in this world. And they're not a surprise, because the Bible says that we're going to have them. And without the Lord, you can't hardly get through them, and you can't hardly go forward. But we need to seek the Lord's will. We need to look unto Jesus and realize he is the giver of life. One day time will end, because the definition of time is the time you're born, I believe, until the time you die. And then time will be no more. Time won't exist in heaven, because you'll be an eternal being. God had no beginning of days or ending of days. You and I had a beginning because God created us, but we'll have no ending of days because of God's rich blessing.